Blog Talk Radio.
Locker Talk.
Yes, it is. It is Locker Talk. Thanks for joining me today. And this is your host, Barry Barnes, founder, CEO of LockerReport.com. You know, always go to the site at locker-report.com to catch up on all the latest activity in regards to the NFL regional combine players that's in the NFL right now. It's been a great week so far. So far, a good season as far as the preseason, as far as players-wise. When I look at the games, I'm not really looking for too many wins or losses, who did better, as far as star player-wise. I'm pretty much just focusing on the players that went through the regional combine dating back all the way to 2012 up to now, and also paying more attention to this year's class, the 2016 class, which is very exciting that there are 40 guys from this class that's currently still on rosters. And after last week, after week one, it was actually great to know that all the players had survived, during week one. No one was cut. No one was released. One person was added on with Mr. Anthony Kelly, who was from Kutztown University, who signed on to the New York Jets. He was able to, make that roster so they actually had an addition to the NFL regional combine as far as the players of the 2016, taking the total up to 116 players that's currently in the league and 41 from the 2016 class. So it was great to see Anthony there. I was able to watch him and his workout when he came to Baltimore. And when he, went through all the routines, I thought for sure he probably got called up a little sooner. He possesses, great speed for his size. He has big hands, great control. I look at him towards being if he succeeds in the NFL, I think I see him succeeding really, really good as a slot receiver that can actually turn up the field with the speed that he does have. So congratulations to Mr. Anthony Kelly for him making it on to the Jets, and hopefully we get to see him with some action before this preseason is over. So that was someone to note. Now, getting back to the rest of the guys, the guys that had played and during this whole process, as far as the regional combine, it's been nothing but up and up. This year was a little different as far as with the 2016 class because there was no super regional combine this year. The super regional combine is pretty much a do-over. The National Scouting Combine they have in Indianapolis every year where the guys there that attend the big one that's televised that you see all over ESPN or better yet on NFL Network, those guys that attend the Indy Combine are pretty much projected as guys that's going to be drafted. But the Super Regional Combine is a do-over of that, but a combination of all the workouts that the league actually, the NFL football operations put together from the month of February through March, whoever collectively were the better athletes from the evaluators and also from team scouts, they get the invitation to go to the Super Regional Combine. So it's that whole event all over again, which is not televised, and that's where you have a good portion of players that actually sign on as undrafted free agents. And at the same time, several of those guys actually get drafted. Now, this year, the credit to the talent that came through the 2016 stage this year that really was really exciting was that although they did not have a super regional combine, they still produced the most drafts through this class than ever before with five players. And for the most part, all five of these players, except for Mr. Jonathan Woodley, who is a defensive end from Central Arkansas who got drafted in the seventh round by the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's out for the year due to torn meniscus, so he's not going to be able to play this season. But for the rest of the guys, they're pretty much seeing, action on the field. And so what we're going to do is now jump to the action on the field. But before I get to the players, one of the things that was unique this past week with week two, and I just want to touch on briefly with NFL operations as far as with The NFL Vice President of Officiating, Dean Blandino, and his crew actually had 8 officials on the field this week. That additional official is called the middle judge. The middle judge is the judge that was placed as an experiment anywhere between 18 to 20 yards behind the linebackers on the defense side of the ball to monitor all the plays, you know, that's going on within trenches, pretty much over the center and the guard. And they had certain patterns and certain, I would say certain assignments depending on what type of play that a team was going to enforce, that they already had things mapped out where and positioning where the middle judge was going to be on the field to help support and find out what's going on with the plays and with the calling, and also watching out for the illegal activity in the middle part of the field, where it's probably expected during this season, knowing that the umpire is not going to be on the defensive side of the ball, pretty much close, right behind the linebackers. You know, for safety reasons, they move the umpire on the offensive side of the ball, opposite of the official, which is on the left side of the offensive line, 10 to 12 yards back to monitor everything that goes within the trenches. So with that official, that piece on the offensive side of the ball, that middle side of the field is going to be open. So the back judge, the head linesman, the side judge, the field judge, all 4 of those guys, those positions, collectively will monitor the middle of the field, not negating their own priorities, but depending on the way how the play is going on the field, these guys will monitor that. And sitting in on the meetings this year, this past summer, when they had about 40 plays that they actually digressed to the officials during one of the meetings of how well they was able to pick up on certain plays that were illegal down the field, and they did it pretty much based off of muscle memory, because these guys train all year round, 7 days a week. They don't get a break because they know they have to keep up with this game of football that has evolved over the years. And so these guys were actually, for trained eye, were able to pick up on plays in the middle of the field. Now they realize that since they have that skill set, which is not a surprise, you know, with the training they go through, that's detailed to them on a weekly basis. They had the umpire on the offensive side of the ball, monitoring what goes on the offensive line. It's not a surprise to see these guys pick, you know, these plays up, but they will be challenged this year. And to have the middle judge this year, only for week 2 only of the preseason, to see how that worked out, I'm quite sure they have enough good notes to realize that, okay, it was a success here. It was better in certain places, probably not good. Another place, I know they will break it down during the course of this preseason going to regular season, and if the competition committee or if Blandino and these guys decide that they want to move forward, although they never had voice that they're going to move to an 8-man rotation as far as with officials, although this year was not the first time they actually used 8 officials. They used 8 officials in 2010, 2011, and 2014. Pretty much used them on different sides on the field to see what areas they had to monitor. I know in 2011 and 2012, they wanted to watch out for the aggressive passing attacks that the teams was getting in on. So they actually had another official that would pretty much would monitor what was going on down the field. And in 2014, they had another official that was on the offense side of the line, pretty much where the umpire is now. That's where they had that 8th official. So week 2 was not the first time they experimented with 8 men on the field for officials, but I'm quite for sure the writing is on the wall that it's not a matter of if they're going to have 8 officials on the field. It's just a question of when, because in 1978, the league had moved from 6 officials to 7, so this is not going to be the first time they decided to add another official to keep up with the game. So that was the big thing from an operations standpoint with the officiating. And now we're going to get to the part that everyone loves to talk about, all the players and the game. And again, this is your host, Barry Bonds. coming to you with from Locker Talk, founder and CEO of LockerReport.com. You can always reach me directly by email at BarryBonds@Locker-Report.com or on Twitter at Locker_Report or on Facebook at LockerReport.com. All right, now to the part that I love, that I talked about all these players. And one of the things that this year has stood out for me for the players from the regional combine, and as far as the scope of NFL itself, it's not a surprise to see when players actually convert from one position to another so they can be able to sustain an NFL career. So to see players change to another position is a common thing. And one of the things that stood out to see for us with the regional combine players, clearly teams know and recognize that there's talent there. But if they need one of the players to step up or change their position to be able to be a help to the team, a credit to the team, and at the same time keep their NFL hopes alive, many of these players have stepped up to do it. And one of the players I definitely want to recognize for us with his changing of his position is definitely Mr. George Farmer, who's a running back for the Seattle Seahawks. Now, George Farmer, when he came out of college, he was a five-star recruit before he went to USC. Last year, he decided to take the step to move forward into his NFL career. It was kind of PO'd that he was not invited to the National Combine that was in Indy, but that same weekend in 2015, he had to go to Denver for the Regional Combine, and he did well there. And did well enough, he was invited to the Super Regional Combine in 2015 when it was held in Arizona, but he did not attend. I'm quite sure that his agents probably told him that he didn't need to go there because you pretty much your talent spoke for itself when he was in Denver. And next thing you know, he was signed by the Cowboys. The Cowboys let him go. The Seahawks picked him up last year. And from being a wide receiver, they actually converted him over to defensive back. This year, to make sure he stayed, you know, stay on the team, knowing that Marshawn Lynch is not there. They wanted to beef up their running game a little bit more. So now Farmer now is a running back. And one of the things that stood out is that he bulked up for the position. And when you have a talented player like that that can catch out the backfield, that can catch, you know he's going to be an asset from catching out the backfield. And the way he's been hitting these holes, I mean, if you look at him, especially going to probably week four, as a matter of fact, He's. I think that he's going to be an integral part to their offense. I would not be surprised to see him a little bit more in week three and definitely in week four of the preseason. He hit the holes as if he's a seasoned vet running the ball, and he had a particular play in the first quarter on the third down and 20. He did not pick up first down, but he did catch the pass out the backfield from Russell Wilson, and he turned up the field, and he absolutely steamrolled over veteran quarterback Terrence Newman for 13 yards. It was a powerful run. That's something that you probably wouldn't see from someone who just converted over to a running back that for the most part of his playing life he was a wide receiver. And to see that he made that shift and the way how he was able to run over a veteran like that, you know, was impressive. And then he actually carried the ball one more time during the course of the game where he took the ball, you know, on third down in long situation right up the middle for 12 yards. So he's showing that burst as soon as he touched the ball. He's showing that, you know, his versatility to be in and out of the holes, to be a good northwest runner when they need him. But for the most part, for him to go north and south, you can see that he's going to be very viable to that team. So I'm looking forward to seeing him get more carries as the preseason progresses, and I really believe that at that position, his chances of making an active roster, where he was on the practice squad last year, I really do believe that he will be that another versatile piece, which is something that Pete Carroll, you know, embraces players that can play a multitude of positions to be an asset on his team. So he was one of the guys that actually showed off, you know, last week for the Los Angeles Rams. Then Demetrius Rainey. Demetrius was one of the players from the regional combine that got drafted. He got drafted in 2014, late in the draft, and he missed that first year due to injury. And last year, he pretty much, you know, he came back healthy, but was trying to battle for the starting position last year. Didn't get the starting position, but he did get some playing time. But this year he's really showing more that he's showing that his explosiveness, showing a lot of athleticism. But in the fourth quarter, he wound up taking snaps on the center. And every snap that he had, took, it was perfect. Even when it was a shotgun formation, the ball wasn't too high, wasn't too low. It went straight to the quarterback every time. And then as soon as he went off the ball, it kind of reminded me of like a Maurice Pouncey with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He showed that type of athleticism, showed that type of speed and the force that he had. So the Rams may have a dual-type offensive lineman. That's what this preseason is all about, to see what a team has. And for the Rams to recognize that not only he can play the guard position, but he can snap the ball with confidence and still be able to perform in a very violent but speed-type oriented type of style that he has. It really, I'm quite sure the Rams is really impressed with what they saw in Demetrius. And then when you look in the New York Jets, you know, Julian Hauser, he originally came into the regional combine as a defensive back. He was with the Jets for the last 2 years. The first year, 2014 practice squad, last year, actually made the active roster, didn't get too much, you know, playing time. But this year he converted from a defensive back over to a fullback. And so he haven't touched the ball as much, but he is showing his versatility, showing that he can catch out the backfield. He had he received the pass this weekend for 8 yards, which was pretty big, you know, for someone who's actually converting over to another position. And he did get one carry for about 4 yards in this game this past weekend. So he's another player that had no problem, you know, converting over to being an asset for the Jets with a team that's going to look to try to pound the ball a little more, and instead of trying to be a finesse team to go deep, although they do have weapons, but I think they're going to be pretty much a ball control type of team and rely heavy on their defense. And with a head coach like Todd Bowles there, I'm quite for sure that he's going to get these guys revved up this year, not only just to challenge the New England Patriots, but to take it to another level, to try to bring another Vince Lombardi trophy to New York by via of the Jets. So these guys are definitely primed to make something happen. Now, throughout the rest of the week, you know, you have many guys that actually not only concrete, I would say this, you have many of the veterans that's in the league that's pretty much a shoe-in in making a roster spot. Really, it's not a question if they're going to make the team, but they, for the most part, they want to try to show or showcase their talent to demand more attention during the regular season. And two players jumped out for me with Seth Roberts, wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders, and also wide receiver Adam Thielen for the Minnesota Vikings. Both players led their team in receptions and in receiving yards in week two. Roberts, he was able to bring in 4 catches for 50 yards, and Adam was able to bring in 4 catches for 61 yards. And Adam's really showing his leaping ability to go over the middle and go over top, which was what he was able to do this past week, actually, on the Vikings' opening drive. He caught an 18-yard pass. Pretty much the game just started with 14 minutes and 24 seconds on the clock. He was able to leap high, catch the pass, and still come down to protect himself. He was actually on fire during that first first half of the game. He even drew the face mask penalty from Seattle Seahawks cornerback Jeremy Lane. So he was pretty much really active out there. He got the start for the game, so I'm quite for sure Mike Zimmer is trying to see where Adam would fit with their receiving core, knowing they have Kyle Rudolph, knowing that they have Stephon Diggs that's going to look, you know, to step in there, and knowing that they're going to have some guys there that he's going to have to not compete against, but definitely be able to play along with. I can see him pretty much being a third receiver, really showing what his catching ability is on this level. He didn't really get a chance to really display it last year, although he was on the active roster. They pretty much still kept him a lot on special teams, which he most likely still going to be this year. But I think that his campaigning right now during this preseason is saying, hey, coach, look at me. I can be a threat on this team, pretty much like how Seth Roberts was last year for the Oakland Raiders when he actually had 2 game winning touchdown passes and actually had 5 touchdown receivings for the entire season, as he was showing that the Raiders could be a threat in their passing game, knowing that he would be that target that a lot of teams probably won't have an answer for and probably find most of their mismatches, you know, as Amari Cooper may demand double teams. It will open up things for Seth Roberts in the same way how it's happened in Oakland. I'm quite sure it's going to happen in Minnesota with Adam Thielen being that third receiver that can cause teams problems and create matchups. Create mismatches. Falls on the rookies, Jake Lampin, rookie for the Saints. He had his first NFL reception last week for 19 yards. And the Cumlins, University of Cumlins, go through a program without talking about Wendell Williams, you know, the speedster that came through the Minnesota workouts. He did not catch a pass, but he did field a punt and also a kickoff return. He had a punt return for 11 yards, and he had a kickoff return for 22 yards. Really excited to see him out there on the field. I really think that he's going to do some big things, and he actually brings a lot of speed to that Texans receiving core, which everyone is actually recognizing right now this offseason. The rounding out falls receivers with Dante Drive for the Buccaneers. He had to catch Matt Lingle, the tight end for the Bengals. He had to catch Marvin Hall for the Raiders. Had to catch. Then you had the Rams rookie there with Mike Thomas. He was able to have a catch as well for the Rams. And Teron Davis for the Green Bay Packers. He didn't have a catch, but he did have a kickoff run return for 31 yards. Also, as far as on the backfield, not a lot of running backs this year out there carrying the ball from the RC platform, but we did have a Bryson Hill for the Bengals. He carried a rock for about four times for 12 yards. And Allen Cross, who's actually from Memphis, set the record for us for tight ends for Memphis, you know, for the University of Memphis with 11 for a record for his collegiate career. He was a 6'6" tight end in college. No, that was not going to translate to the NFL. So the Buccaneers brought him in as a fullback, and so he was able to catch his first pass this past weekend for 12 yards. He could be a surprise that the Bucs bring him on an active roster. He could be a legitimate threat catching the ball from out the backfield. So there's someone there to watch out for, you know, as times progress. As far as quarterbacks, you know, Joe Callahan still doing very well for Green Bay. Green Bay is already set with their quarterback with Aaron Rodgers, but I'm quite sure that they're going to be real confident knowing that if Joe wins the backup position, which he's pretty much showing right now, doing pretty much a little more better job than Huntley, I'm quite sure that, you know, that young man, that rookie from Wesley, can actually step up and take that particular position. And that will be huge. Huge for the regional combine, because one thing they lack in the NFL for us players are quarterbacks. And Callahan could be that one to actually turn the tide. With the San Diego Chargers, their rookie running back, Mike Brocasavini, he actually played a lot better in week two as opposed to week one. Week one he did throw an interception, but Mike was settled in his regression this week. He actually completed 9 passes out of 13 attempts for 108 yards. So he had a much, much better performance this past week compared to week one. As far as defensive backs, definitely got to give a shout out to Floyd Raven of the Bengals. This young man really, he had to battle with some injuries, you know, for the past, you know, couple of years trying to make, you know, roster spots. I know he was trying to make one there with the Browns. And this year he's with the Bengals, really trying to showcase his talent there. Where the Bengals pretty much they lost some players in the secondary, and I know they want to beef it up, and bringing in Floyd would be a good move on their part. And he was able to get his first NFL interception last week against the Lions. Rookie Jake Rudock threw a deep pass in the middle of the field, and Raven actually watched his eyes the whole time, surveyed the field. He actually, although he has not played during the regular season, you can tell that he has done a lot of film study, because the way how he watch the quarterback, watch his eyes, how he surveyed the field, and how he actually checked off on one receiver that was actually going to the left, to the bottom of the field, knowing that he was not going to be a threat because there was some help over there for us with another safety, and recognized where he was going at, that the ball was actually sailing pretty much over one receiver trying to get to another. So the pass looked like it was either underthrown or overthrown, but either way, Raven went directly to the spot where the ball was going to land, and he took it up the field for 26 yards to get to the Lions 37. That game pretty much was already out of hand. That pretty much just sealed the victory for the Bengals when they had went to, you know, the Ford Field. And also, when you look at with the secondary, you know, for us to play as Chris Milton, who's from Georgia Tech, had his first NFL tackle against the Ravens when they had played, and Julian Stanfield, another vet for the Jets who's been around, who's also been with the New York Giants last year. He was able to bring in four tackles, and Daryl Morrison Jr., who was with the Texans the last 2 years, he registered three tackles for the New York Jets as well. Now, as far as the linebackers, I would say, the defensive front, the player that actually stood out defensively last week was Jarvis McNeely, linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts. He registered eight tackles last week against the Ravens, and he was all over the place, you know, especially in the second half when he came in. Last year during this time, he missed the entire preseason because he was convicted off a rape charge and also some other charges that was thrown at him. Something that happened during the Super Bowl weekend when a young lady had allegedly accused him for rape. But shortly into September, I believe it was around September the 3rd or September the 8th, he was acquitted of all charges. And as soon as he was acquitted, the Colts had welcomed him back, you know, to the club. Yeah, he was on a practice squad for 1 week. Next thing you know, he was on the active roster, starting to really become a solid, dependable force for the Colts. And this past weekend against the Ravens, he really showed a lot of his veteran leadership as he shared a lot of blocks, took the field, made a lot of tackles, had one hit that he hit on Terrence West, coming from Towson University, as he had leaped over one of his teammates, one of the Colts players, number 37, to try to get away, and McNeely was spot on right there, and he destroyed them. What happened was Terrence West had came out the backfield, rookie cornerback for the Colts, Darius White, tried to go down, but that's when West had jumped up, and McNeely was right there. You can actually see a good shot that I actually have on this piece that I'm about to release on week two, breaking down the rest of the players that actually had a great outing this past weekend during the regional combine. There's someone named who I missed on the show. You can see it on the article that I will have talking about the preseason, how many athletes from the regional combine really strengthened their chances during week two. So you'll see that shot there on that particular article, which was shot by Indianapolis Colts photographer, which you can see all their images on NFLColts.com. Rookies Johnny Maxey Jr. for the Pittsburgh Steelers and Justin Zimmer for the Buffalo Bills. Another player that you need to watch out for that could make that squad as well. Both of these guys actually have finished off with two tackles each. Now, going to week three of the preseason, you'll see more of the veterans play. You'll see more of the veterans on the field, their dress rehearsal, quote-unquote, what it is. So you pretty much see them playing for majority of the game. If you recognize any regional combine player that's actually playing in week three, that would be a good sign to say that player may be in good shape and making that squad because they're out there with the first unit. So I'll definitely keep my eye out for those players there. And coming to a close for this week two of the NFL preseason, I'm your host again, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of LockReport.com. And thanks for listening to Locker Talk. Like I said, if you want to shoot me a question or want me to answer on the next week's show, you know, always hit me directly at BarryBarnes@Locker-Report.com or shoot me a reply on Twitter at Locker_Report or directly on Facebook at LockReport.com. Thank you for your time. We'll dive into week three, let you know what players stood out that actually played with a lot of these starters, which will give us a real good indication of that who may make 53-man roster. Again, thanks a lot. Everyone stay blessed. Talk to you next week. Bye.
Lock a talk.